You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that. I hadn't really even considered this when the president, a couple months ago or a month or so ago, when he publicly announced and conceded that he was, in fact, in favor of same-sex marriage, I hadn't thought ahead to the next step, which is, well, we have a Democratic Party convention coming up early in September. What are they going to do with that issue on their platform? Apparently, it's an unofficial announcement that's going to be included there. It still has to go through some levels of various committees, but it's expected that when they meet in September, the Democratic Party will endorse officially in its platform same-sex marriage. Joining us to talk about that, Dr. Jennifer Roback Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wonder how you're doing. On Sunday night, you were involved in a panel debate, I understand, to a packed house on same-sex marriage. One of your opponents there at the table was Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. Have you recovered from the debate?
Oh, I've more than recovered. I'm ecstatic. I'm floating on air after that. Well, it wasn't supposed to be a debate. It was a conversation on the definition of marriage, and it worked very well. It was a very civil conversation. It was a very friendly conversation, very open. Both sides came away feeling that they got to say what they wanted to say, which is very important in this type of environment. But I think that our side came off looking very well, if I do say so myself. So I'm ecstatic about the whole event, Todd.
What argument surprised you the most made by the other side of the conversation?
Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting. We had Gene Robinson, as you say, and then opposing him on my side was Dr. Robert Gagnon of the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, who's probably the world's foremost exegete on Jesus' views on sex and Paul's views on homosexuality and so on. So those two were paired against each other. And then it was me and on the other side, John Corvino of Wayne State University, a philosophy professor who supports the redefinition of marriage. And so the thing that surprised me, Todd, about this whole encounter was just how much their side was relying on feelings and emotions and sort of stories, and our side was relying on actual arguments and ideas about why this would not be desirable for the whole society. And, of course, in Dr. Gagnon's case, what does the text of the Bible actually say, and what does it actually mean? And honestly, it was in a certain way, it was kind of a blowout, because Bishop Robinson was over there talking about how he felt about the text, and Dr. Gagnon was on the other side saying what the text actually says, So it was very surprising to me just how stark that dichotomy was, and many people commented on it, Todd. It wasn't just, me sitting up there, dreaming or something. I mean, pretty much everybody saw that was a difference in the two sides. So that's why I feel like we made a good showing of ourselves,
Well, one more question on that. Did you get the impression that either Bishop Robinson or Corvino, either of them had thought through the consequences? That's what we talk about so often with you here. The consequences to society, to the family, to the fabric of society with those two put together of their position on same-sex marriage.
Do you know, it's possible that John has. I don't think that Gene has very much. And truthfully, the conversation didn't spend that much time on that subject because we were in one of the largest megachurches in San Diego, and we were unabashedly talking about the Bible. Most of the time when I go talk about the marriage question, I don't spend that much time on biblical issues because I feel like it's really important to talk about the natural side of things. But we spent a lot of time on the biblical stuff, and so therefore the conversation turned towards the question of homosexual practice and what does the Bible say about it. more than the consequences for society. We did get some of that in there, but it seemed to me pretty clear that that's not what they wanted to talk about. And as long as I had the top exegete on my side sitting there to explain what Jesus really had to say, I think it was perfectly fine to, you know, to go there in the way that he did. And I think the other thing that came out of it, Todd, that I've never completely experienced before, is I think Robert Gagnon and I, defending the biblical position, I felt that we had the opportunity to show that the biblical position is in fact humane. I think people doubt that the gospel is good news for everyone when it comes to sex. You know, people think that the biblical view of human sexuality is oppressive and, you know, and old-fashioned, there's something wrong with it. But really, really, you know, I think that Jesus' teaching is good news for everyone. And so we had a chance to show some of the more humane aspects of the biblical teaching. And Robert, I must say, Robert Gagnon was in rare form. He was in fine form, and so was I, if I may say so. But that was the part of the whole thing that surprised me the most. You know, I've never quite gone to that place before in any of the conversations or encounters I've had on this subject. So it was great. And I should let people know that we're talking about how we're going to get this up online, you know, the whole video of the thing and possibly, you know, just plain audio files too. We're in discussions about that right now. So people should go and like the Ruth Institute. Go to Facebook and look for the Ruth Institute's Facebook page and like it, because on that page we'll announce when the video of this thing will be available. And I know that a lot of your listeners are going to be really interested in this in what this debate looks like.
Well, I know I am. Real quick, what was the primary philosophical argument, so to speak, that John Corvino made? How did you respond to it?
Well, he basically wanted to say that relationships are good for people and marriage is good for relationships, and since some people are gay, we should do something to help gay people have good relationships. And what I countered with was that, yes, there are lots of relationships that are good for people, but in fact are none of the public's business. So I have all kinds of friendships that are good for me and that are valuable. But if my friendship with you, Todd, breaks up tomorrow, it's none of the government's business. It's none of the public's business. And the burden on them is to show why the public should have any interest at all in the stability or longevity of a same-sex sexual union. The public's interest in marriage flows from the vulnerable children that flow from marriage so often. And so I did get to put that point out, that the public purpose of marriage, the essential public purpose of marriage, is to attach moms and dads to their kids and to one another. So I did get to get that out. And he countered with the, oh, I know this 80-year-old guy who got married to his wife, and what do we say to that? Well, we always just say, congratulations, Walter, that's great. And I countered with, you know, look, two 80-year-olds can get married without society having to rewrite birth certificates, marriage licenses, and remove all the gendered language out of the statute book, which is not the case if you're going to let two men get married to each other. That's the first thing that has to go, is all the gendered language. So I think that helped people to see what's really at stake in that debate.
Well, Monday it was reported by National Public Radio that the 15 Democrats who serve on the Democratic National Committee's Party Platform Drafting Committee voted unanimously, Jen, to endorse same-sex marriage as part of the party's official agenda. It is expected that it'll end up on the platform after the appropriate paperwork is done. What's your reaction to this?
Well, isn't that nice? That's my reaction. Isn't that nice? And what a surprise. they're finally coming out of the closet too and telling us what they've always thought, you know. So no, it's not a big surprise, but I do know there are still some pro-life, pro-marriage Democrats out there who you know, I hope they make a run for it. You know, I hope they try to stick up for it, or some of those pro-life, pro-marriage Democrats are going to be coming our way to join some other party.
Do you think that it will have that effect? And I'm thinking here about, honestly, just Roman Catholic voters, kind of generally defined. Do you think it will have that effect of saying to some of them who have been holding their nose for a long time with regard to things that are already in the platform,
yes,
and say, you know, this is kind of the last straw for me, especially after what's been going on with regard to the HHS mandate. This is the last straw for me.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think some of the Catholic voters are going to jump ship. I think some of the Catholic ethnic voters are going to jump ship, especially some of your Hispanic pro-life Democrats, of whom there are quite a few, who are Catholic. I'm also seeing in New York City, Hispanic Democrats and Black Democrats who are fed up with the whole pro-gay marriage stance of the Democratic Party, and I know at least one announced at Skyline Church this past weekend that he intended to introduce a pro-marriage plank at the Democratic convention. Now, I don't if the entire committee has voted unanimously that they want to put gay marriage into the platform. This poor guy Fernando Cabrera, will be kind of fighting a lost cause. But it doesn't matter. He's going to. I think he's going to take the stand and make the noise and try to embarrass them into at least being quiet about it. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I'm sure you're right, Todd, that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to say this is the last straw. I also noticed that Mitt Romney, just to look at the other side of this coin, Mitt Romney announced his Catholic Outreach Committee. He announced six prominent Catholics who would be on his Catholic Outreach Committee. And if you look at them, they were all ambassadors to the Holy See, some under Democratic presidents, some under Republican presidents. So Romney is, I think, moving into this space and trying to find the Orthodox Catholics who will promote his cause amongst other Catholics. So the Democrats can do what they want, but of course Romney will respond, and of course people within the party will respond. And so just because a bunch of rich gay guys write big checks to get the Democrats to do what they want, that doesn't mean that that's going to be the end of it. There's going to be other kinds of responses and consequences to it. So it should be pretty interesting, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. When you go to Facebook tonight, search for the Ruth Institute and like it. Jen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks a million, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk with Greg Smith of the Pew Forum about a new survey on religion and the presidential candidates. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important, he would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.